Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. We can hear something. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're going to have to turn that down. That your phone. Okay. All right. I just muted you from there. All right. You called in. You can hear me good on the phone. All right. Anybody on the line, can you press one for me to let me know that you can hear me? Can you press one for me? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. All right. They pressing one. They pressing one. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. All right, all right, all right. Amen. So we tried something new. We got a microphone for my phone, and we plugged it in, and we've been working on it. And so we trying to figure it out. Amen. Because we gonna do this thing with the spirit of excellence. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Jeremiah. Take this down just a little bit. It's kind of pitchy. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, amen, verses 9 through, no, you turn the volume down. Turn the volume back up and then make it so it's not pitchy. So you got to turn one of those white knobs up there. I still need the volume, but I don't want it to be pitchy. So you're going to have to figure it out. Okay, keep working with it, but I still need the volume. All right, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 is our devotional reading, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation so that we can get a good understanding of what the Lord, word of the Lord is saying to us today. I'm gonna say this. Elder Minniweather and I were in a class on yesterday. For ministers and preachers and pastors. And the teacher of the class is Bishop Obi. And some of you might remember him because he is the father in the ministry to Pastor Craig and Angela Brown. And Bishop Obi reminded the preachers, he said, you got 30 minutes to preach. And then you have the rest of your life to do what you preach. So y'all got 30 minutes to listen to what the preached word says. And then you have the rest of your life to do what it says. And so I want you to hear what the writer of 1 Thessalonians, and this was Paul. You know, Paul didn't, he didn't play with words. He didn't sugarcoat it. He told it like it T-I-E, because he knew he was talking to who? Us. All right? He says, verse 9, he says, but we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other. We already know that, right? Because they said it to us in Deuteronomy. They said it to us in Corinthians and in Ephesians. So it wasn't like this was the first time we heard that we're supposed to what? Love one another. He says, so for God himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. Love them more. You think you've already loved them enough? Verse 11, this is what you need to be highlighting in your Bible. If you got a highlighter on your phone, highlight it, copy it, and keep it before you the rest of the week. Make it your goal to mind the business that pays you. It didn't say that, but that's what it means. It didn't say that, but that's what it means. It says, make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. The people who are not believers will respect, check this out, the people who are not believers will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. Now, the word of the Lord is already blessed. But may the hearers and the doers of his word be blessed. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we just thank you for being so good, so kind, so faithful, so merciful, so gracious. I heard Dr. Wade said, I just want to thank you for what you didn't do.
You could kill me and I was driving down the street. But you allowed the sweet grace and mercy to watch over me and to follow me. And God, I want to say thank you. Thank you for another day of journey. Thank you for another opportunity to just get it right. Thank you, oh God, for being so merciful and so kind. Oh God, I love you today. And I appreciate you, Father God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing. You are good, and your mercy is everlasting. Oh, God, how we bless your name. How we give you glory. How we give you honor. Oh, God, we love you. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Nisi. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are our way out of nowhere. You are our joy, our hope, and our peace. You are our mind regulator, and we lift up our eyes to the hills which come as our help, realizing all of our help comes from you. Psalm 46 says that you are the God of our refuge. You are our help in the very present time of trouble.
Thank you, Lord.
The elder has already said it. We are in trouble in time.
Yes.
Oh, Sam. Lack of baby milk. Gas prices high. Rent prices high. War and rumors of war. Plagues in the land. We need you, Jesus. Lord, we know how to get your attention. You taught us how to do it in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And so we stand here today humbling ourselves before you. God, submitting ourselves to you. God, turning from our wicked ways. in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we come to worship you today, we realize that we play a bigger part than what we really realize. We are in the little church, but we are a part of the big church. Help us to live a life that represents you, Father. We only got a few moments to be in here getting ourselves cleaned up in the heart, fight, in the mind, faith. But when we leave from here, let us be busy being about our Father here. Bless our time of worship today. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come in and have your way. Do what you want to do. Show yourself strong. Show yourself mighty in the midst of it,
Lord.
And we'll be so careful to give you praise, glory, and honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Are you expecting a move of God? Come on, stand to your feet. Let's prepare our hearts and minds now. This is a move.
So the song says, mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we
believe. What's going on, okay? The man was just standing there, so I just need you to be looking out.
Wonders
see what's going on.
Still
all right, that
you do. I love this when y'all says, and bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Oh, but I'm...
Jesus.
You to feel like we don't love you. We love you, amen. And we want you to join us next time, amen. People were saying, I don't know what it's all about. I ain't never heard of that before. Don't miss out. Don't miss out because you ain't never heard, amen. Amen. Just because you ain't never heard don't mean it ain't for real, amen. Amen, amen. I just want to make a few announcements. Remember that we are on Blog Talk. Amen. Tonight at 8 o'clock, Elder Bruce Mitchell will be preaching tonight. And so we want to encourage you to join us for a word tonight. Dial this same number. Dial the number I text to you this morning and at 8 o'clock to hear Elder Bruce Mitchell preach. He has been overseeing our men's ministry, being a spiritual guide to our own brother Pharaoh, the God's gangster man up in here today. He has been an overseer for him as they lead our men's ministry. The Bible says, Brother Pharaoh, that we are not to despise small beginnings because we don't know what God has in store for us in the future.
And so whatever it is, continue. If it's two or three, if it's just you and elder, continue the work that God has for you. Amen. If don't nobody get stronger out of this, it ought to be you. All right? And they ought to see the difference in you. They ought to hear the difference in you. And then they'll come and be a part. So I want to encourage you to stay fast. Stay fast. Stay true. Stay true. God's got some great things in store for our men's ministry. I think I messed up the sound over here. I'm working this phone trying to get the calendar, but I don't know. I want to tell you, I was excited to hear this news. This afternoon, the Morning Star Missionary Baptist Church will be celebrating their 75th church anniversary. And they will be having a reunion musical. So they have people that have flown in from Alaska, California, Georgia, to be a part of this celebration. So that's at 3:30 at Morning Star. And Morning Star is located on 57th off of Alberta. Let me give you the address. So if you are out and about and you want to go and you ain't been into a musical in a long time, well, let me tell you, they're going to be having a good time in the Lord. Amen. Okay, this is not letting me. Jesus, this stuff today. Amen. 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 I'm trying to work everything and keep everything going, okay? Just give me a minute. All right, let me see. Did they put their address on their flyer? It's 4927 Northeast 55th Avenue. 4927 Northeast 55th Avenue. And that's at 3:30. If you are not doing anything and you want to go to a musical, wear your mask. Amen, Pastor Black. Amen. Amen. Wear your mask. Because there's going to be a lot of people there. Amen. So wear your mask. Amen. The next announcement I have to share with you is First AME Zion, which is located right here on the corner of Vancouver and Skidmore, will be celebrating their 160th church anniversary on June the 4th at 4 o'clock p.m. And so we've been invited to be guests. Our friend and our brother, Pastor J.W. Matt Hennessy, will be bringing the word of God on that afternoon. And so Pastor Lamont Brown is a new pastor to our city, and he's trying to pull together this great celebration for the church and the community. And we definitely want to be a part of this celebration. Amen. Also on June 17th through the 19th, the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church and the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church will be hosting their first annual men's prayer conference. Woo-hoo! Yes, yes, yes. Our theme for this conference is a legendary walk. A legendary walk, a walk through prayer, and then a walk through generational wealth. Amen. So Friday night, they will have praise and worship. Ladies, y'all stay at home. Amen. The men are going to have praise and worship. Pastor Michael Dean and his team will be there to lead worship. On Saturday morning, they'll have a continental breakfast. Elder Mitchell will teach on prayer. They'll have lunch. Southern Kitchen is going to provide the lunch. Then in the afternoon, they will have three TED Talks. Amen. Amen. Three TED Talks about generational wealth. They'll talk about financial investment. They'll talk about life insurance. And they'll talk about last will and testament. Amen. And they have three professional young black men coming to do these TED Talks for them. Amen. So tell your brother, tell your son, your nephew, your cousin, your boo. I don't care. Tell them to get to St. Paul, 8101 North Fisk. Amen. 8101 North Fisk. Amen. And so they have a parking lot, so we don't want there to be no excuse. Amen. They have a parking lot. Pastor promised he'd have the basement cleaned up. You know, we was over there yesterday with boxes everywhere. I'm too ashamed to post the pictures on Facebook because we got boxes everywhere. But Pastor promised to have the basement cleaned up for y'all so that it doesn't look like our store. They have the same amount of stuff we do. And so they're giving away stuff every weekend to get rid of the boxes. And so he promised to have the boxes cleaned up and moved out so that we can host together. Amen. So we will have flyers so that we can help spread the word. Women, we want to help spread the word. We want to help spread the word because we want to pack out that church. And on Sunday morning, we will be at St. Paul at 10 o'clock for worship. Amen. Elder Mitchell will be preaching the word of God, and we will be celebrating together. Pastor Brown will be out of town, so I will be standing in as pastor there. But we're just going to be there to hallelujah, good in the Lord. Amen. Amen. I think those are all the announcements that I have. Thank you to everyone for last Sunday. It's Sunday, then Wednesday. Sunday, I heard y'all had a hallelujah good time. Amen. I was able to chime in just a little bit. We heard the word from our own elder, Kathy Miniweather. Amen. We truly had a good time. You all had a good time in the Lord. Amen. Thank you for being loyal and faithful to God because you came to praise him. You came to serve him. Amen. So thank you so much. Elder Miniweather, thank you for standing in to preach the word of God for us, amen, and to tell us what thus saith the Lord. And then on Wednesday night, I heard y'all had an awesome good time, amen. Brother Farrell Mack was our facilitator for Wednesday night. Yeah, come on, y'all, show him some love. Yes, he was our facilitator for Wednesday night. Thank you so much, Brother Farrell, amen, for holding it down, amen, and doing what you do best. And so thank you to all of you for Tuesday and Thursday night, Deaconess Faye. Thank you for holding down prayer time. Amen. Thank you so much for keeping us focused on what it is we need. Let me tell y'all this, and I'm going to move out the way. Sister Yolanda is going to prepare to do our exhortation of praise and worship. But I want to tell you this. On Friday night, I had the honor of sitting next to, well, across from Dr. Melvin V. Wade. He has served the General Baptist the National Baptist Convention as president for two terms. And he was here to preach at the banquet for Morning Star. And he said something so profound that should have shaken the foundation of the big church. He said that we've lost our power. He said that the church, Jesus said in the book of Luke, he said, you remember the story where Jesus flipped the script on them? He went into the church and he started kicking over the tables and he started knocking stuff down. He said, tore it up. He said, y'all have turned my house into a house, a den of thieves. He said, I want you to know that my house is a house of prayer and proclamation. The church has forgot the power of prayer. When we pray, what happens? The Holy Ghost moves in us. The Holy Ghost moves on our behalf. The Holy Ghost begins to pray and make intercession for us when we pray. And so when we don't pray, we don't tap into the power. And when we don't tap into the power, we can't lay hands on the sick.
And then when we get outside, we lost our influence. That's why he meant when he said we've lost the power. We gotta be a praying church. We gotta be a praying church. Tuesday and Thursday at 9 o'clock. Is that too late for some of y'all thinking that you want to move down to 8? You think more people will join us if it's 8 o'clock? Let's change it to 8 and we'll see. And now if she's not in the test for a leader, amen, we're going to do what she says. But that way, for those of you that feel that sleep spirit fall over you right at 9, because I know how it is. You don't get sleepy until it's out of the way. That's what them boys did when Jesus took them up there to the mountain with him. The spirit of sleep didn't follow them until he said, talk and pray with me for 1 hour. So at 8 o'clock on Tuesday and Thursday, we're going to have prayer. So there will be more than the 4 or 5 women on that line. There will be more than the 4 or 5 that get on that line to pray. 8 p.m. It's praying time.
Press 1
so that we can bring you on live, that you may share with us, say hello, your greetings from your city, your church, wherever you may be today. We have one in the house today. If there's one on the line, just touch one, and we will bring you on live. Amen. My sister, amen.
Oh,
yes. Yes, amen, amen. We are so welcome to have you back with us, amen.
Amen.
And we are just who we are, amen. Who you saw yesterday, that's who we are today.
Amen.
Nothing has changed, amen. I got up this morning and I did put on some makeup, amen. And so other than that, nothing else has changed, amen. We are still the same. We appreciate you for joining us on yesterday. We appreciate you for joining us on today.
Yeah.
I thank God that you can feel that just by that few moments we were together, you felt him.
Amen.
And that's what we're striving for.
Amen.
His family. And so we thank God for you on today. We pray for you. Pray that God will continue to richly bless you. Pray that God will continue to give you the desires of your heart and to meet your every need and to give you what is necessary as you stand in the air. Know that there is nothing too hard for God. God said, I created you and I gave you the
future.
Yes. I want to pour out blessings on you. I want the blessings to come and overtake you. I want so many blessings to come your way. You don't have room enough to receive them. So we bless my sister.
Yeah.
People that I hope and pray that something be said, done, and here today that will transform your heart and mind and to keep you encouraged and lifted up to continue to seek first the kingdom of God
and
all of his righteousness.
Yes.
Amen. Sister Yolanda is telling we are running way behind time. Amen. Who's mad?
Take it up. every praise is to our God. Every word of worship is one accord. Come on, say every praise. Every praise is to our God. I want everybody all over the world to sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise, every praise. Every praise is to our God. I don't care how you're feeling right now. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah. Every praise, every praise is to our God. Hey, this is what I love.
Get that camera on him.
As I leave,
can I get one witness?
Love,
wonder, can I get one witness?
Love,
anybody here love the Lord?
Love,
has it been good to you? Has it been good to you? You and you and you. Food on your table.
Oh, yeah.
Clothes on your back.
Oh, yeah.
Shelter in the time of storm.
Shelter.
Does anybody love him? Come on, lift your hands. Does anybody love him?
Come on, church.
Does anybody love him?
Oh,
touching my body with a finger of
love.
That's why I love him. Let me give you another reason why I love the Lord. He kept me close in my right mind.
The old folks say,
I got a reasonable portion of my heavenly strength. I wonder, is anybody here? Do you love the Lord? Look back on your life when you were down. God picked you up when you were sad. Didn't God make you glad when you didn't have no money? Money to pay your bills. Didn't he step in on time? Won't he step in on time? That's why I love the Lord.
Yeah, I love the Lord.
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 Oh yeah.
I love the Lord. I love the Lord.
Oh,
I love the Lord.
We thank you for your spirit, O God. Father, as we continue to worship you in spirit and truth, we yield over our undivided attention to receive a word from you on today. For truly, there is a word from the Lord. Now, God, I ask that you would give hearing to the hearer and do thy spirit to the hearer. Give them the power to those who have made up in their mind. I choose to
what the word has commissioned and commanded me to do. So, God, I thank you now, and I bless you, and I praise you. Now, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Come on and clap your hands. Amen. For those of you that have a Sunday school book, we're on page 430. For those of you that are at home and you don't have a book, we're going to the book of Galatians. Chair there. I need you to sit over here so you can watch outside the door so if someone comes in, you see them. You're too far over there. Thank you, love. Thank you. You are our eyes. Thank you. Galatians chapter 5. Because of the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of this, but I do want you to go back and study this. Amen. I was sharing with a group of pastors last week through my Thriving Pastors cohort, and they asked me had I found it challenging to preach during the pandemic. I was like, no. I said, what we did was earlier in the year, we bought everybody a Sunday school book. And I started preaching the Sunday school lesson. And one of the pastors that was sitting there was like, oh, my God, how profound it is that I can study the lesson and then come to church and you expound upon what I've read and studied. That helps me to get a better understanding of what the Word of God is saying to me. It's helping me to hear and to do what the Word of God is saying to me. So, Pastor Black, why are you telling us this? You've been gone for a whole week, and that was the only thing we heard you say about your whole week. I'm telling you this because you need to study this book. Don't wait till Sunday to pick it up and bring it here. Because as you're going to see this lesson today, your works ain't going to get you in the kingdom. It's your faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing is cometh by the Word of God. So you just can't wait till Sunday morning to hear the Word. You ought to pick up this book every day. Go to page 428. Oh, is that the right one? Let me see. Wait a minute. No, your daily reading was on 440 for this week, this Sunday. You should have started Monday morning on page 440. You see those seven verses is what you should have read on Monday. And then Tuesday, you should have got up and read Philippians 3, 8 verses. Wednesday, before you went to bed, you should have finished off Philippians. Thursday, while it was noontime and you was, you know, done watching The Young and the Restless and the news was boring, you should have read 1 John 4, 7 through 13. And then Friday night, you should have, you know, after you ate good and you watched some stuff on TV and you finished watching the basketball game and you had your hot wings and your pizza and your beer. You should have read Matthew 43 through 48. And then sometime Saturday night before you got ready to hit the club, you should have read Proverbs 17. Verses 13 through 17. Before the nightfall, you should read Galatians 5, 1 through 15, which is our lesson today. Y'all, we paid $20 for these books. When you give to Sunday school, that's what we turn around and do with the Sunday school money. We buy these books. So everybody has a book. And you can't say, I don't know what the pastor preaching about today. You might not know what I say, but you know where I'm coming from. And it'll be clearer to you. You'll have a better understanding. And you'll be able then to take the word and apply it to your life to be better, to be stronger, to be wiser. Amen? Galatians 5, let me give us a little background on this before we read the scripture. It says that at the time Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians, a group of Jewish Christians known as the Judaizers were teaching that Gentile converts needed to be circumcised both as a sign of their covenant with God and a means of justification or being made right with him. It says that they also insisted the Gentile Christians also observe other parts of the Mosaic law. Paul and others of like mind found the demand of circumcision was in contradiction to salvation by the grace of Jesus Christ. The debate about circumcision and the law in the growing Christian community had created such division among believers that it threatened to what? What? Christianity. Let me stop right here and bring this to today. This week, I met with 8 women that pastor throughout the state of Oregon and Washington. Some of them are Lutheran. Some of them are non-denominational. Some of them are Presbyterian. And they all said that this bro-ish of the church is causing a division in the church. Y'all understand what I'm saying? The bro-ish? The men folk are causing a division in the church. Why? Because just like the children of Israel, the Jewish church in Paul's day were feuding and debating over circumcising men, the men in the 21st century are debating whether or not women should pastor or preach in the church. And that's not just in the Black Baptist Church. It was only 2 black women in this group of 8. And they the one that brought it up. I didn't say nothing. Even though I deal with it all the time. But they look at what they're doing to the big C. See, this is the thing I was saying last night to the pastors last night. You're not hurting me. You're not hurting me. You're hurting the big C. The universal church. What you are saying is that God prefers men over women. What you are saying is that God chooses to use only women. I don't know why I'm going this way. But we know that's not the case. We know that God just does not use men. Who was it in the Bible that carried the word? The very first person to carry the word was a little virgin girl by the name of Mary. And then after Mary, it was that chick at the well. Jesus told her all about herself. He said, that husband you got now, he really ain't your husband. And you had 7 besides that one. Now go tell everybody about a man that told you all about yourself. Didn't know you like a can of paint, but I told you all about yourself. The next woman went to the empty tomb. She went to prepare his body because that was the customary thing to do. But when she got to the rock where the rock was supposed to have been laid, the rock had been rolled away. And the angel told her, he's not here. He has risen, just like he said. Now go tell. So I don't know why the men across this world are having a problem with women pastoring and teaching. Doesn't make sense. It's really legalistic. And that's what we find here in Galatians. The church were being legalistic, trying to make the convert, the hookers, the pimp, the drug dealer, the liar, the backbiter, who had heard Paul preach and who had received the word of God, who had been baptized, who had received the Holy Ghost, They was trying to tell them, really, y'all ain't done nothing until you get circumcised. They were saying Christ was not enough. That's what they were saying. Let me tell you what legalism does. Legalism condemns us. Okay? But the grace, it liberates us. That's the title of this lesson, The Nature of Christian Freedom. All right? So I think I've covered chapter 4, and y'all was in chapter 3 last Sunday. So what you're getting is a continuation from the teaching of Paul. In chapters 1 and 2 of Galatians, Paul gives us an introduction of who he is. And he's explaining to the church why you should trust me, why you should believe in who I am. Y'all know about Paul. Paul was Saul. Saul was going around killing everybody that said, Lord, Lord. All of them that called themselves Christians. Let me tell you this. We learned this yesterday. That the word Christians was an insult to the believers. When they saw the believers, those who were trying to walk like Christ and be like Christ, they started calling them Christians. Bishop Obi, we're going to hear some more about it, but he was saying, really, it was to insult you. He says, what we should be calling ourselves and what we should be acting like is saints. Okay, y'all will catch that one later. You'll catch that one later. But what was happening here, Paul was saying, why you should trust me, because I've killed a whole bunch of y'all. I had some of y'all stoned. I had some of y'all thrown in jail. But one day I was riding on my horse, minding my own business, and that donkey threw me off. And when he threw me off, I looked up, and I was blind and couldn't see a doggone thing. And immediately I knew who was responsible. I said, Lord, what you done to me? I can't see. And what did he do? He sent him to the church. He sent him to the man of God. Go. Tell him I sent you. When you get there, you need to follow instructions. Y'all, we need to stop coming to the church to hear the word of God and then leave out and decide not to follow the instructions. So Paul is saying, y'all, I've been there. I've done that. I've experienced God in such a way that you ought to believe me when I tell you that God's son, Jesus, is enough. You don't have to go through the legalism to believe that God gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for the remission of your sin. All you got to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. See, they was acting. I remember when I was going to school with my friends that went to other churches. They didn't go to the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. They went to the other churches, and they couldn't wear pants to school. They had to wear dresses. They couldn't wear earrings. And when we got older, when I turned 14, I was working, and I started wearing nails. They couldn't wear nail polish because it was their religion. It was legalistic. Can I tell you, that did not make none of them more holier than me? They couldn't wear makeup. They couldn't go to dances. They couldn't even go to the basketball game, Bro Pharaoh. The Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're going to sin in a dress, and you're going to sin without makeup. Come on now. So what Paul was saying here, this letter is a crisis management letter. Paul was writing to a group of people who were in a crisis. You in a crisis today? Need to take heed to what the word is saying to you. These are a group of people who heard the word of God, received the word of God, and now they are in a space where others are starting to tell them, yeah, but maybe you should do this. Maybe you should do that. Paul said, it's hogwash. It's a bunch of rules. And none of those rules are going to get you into the kingdom. I don't know about you, but I want to get into the kingdom. I want to see Jesus. None of those rules. Okay, and for the sake of time, I'm a look at verse 1, because I think we covered. Chapter 3 and 4 talk about the doctrine and how we are saved by faith. I need to put that in there. We are saved by faith. You're not saved because your mama was saved. You're not saved because you got some money, Bill Gates. You ain't saved because you look good, Denzel. Beyonce. That didn't save you. Only the grace of God. Chapter 5 tells us what all of this means, what verses 3, chapter 3 and 4 means, and how it should play out in our life every day. Okay? So that's our background to this. Don't let people's rules cause you to miss out on heaven. Don't, because you've heard the word of God. You know what's required of you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Honor him. Seek first the kingdom of God. Love one another. Do good to one another. Forgive each other. You know the word. So don't let nobody come and tell you, oh, you ain't got to love them. Yes, you do. I ain't got to like you. But I do have to love you. There is a difference. I can love you and I don't have to hang out with you. Y'all better talk to me up in here. Because people think because I love you, I got to kick it with you. I'm trying to see Jesus. And you try to influence folks to do other things. Or your behavior causes me to do other things. So I just separate myself. That's what the word of God say. Come out from among them. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So these people were trying to get the Gentiles to convert to their old customs. They were saying grace is not enough. Paul writes this letter because he loves them. Anybody that loves you, gonna tell you the truth. And the truth hurts. Don't act like it don't. The truth hurts, but it hurts for your good. It hurts for your good. The truth does what? The truth does what? The truth does what? So why wouldn't you want to hear the truth? The world going to lie to you. The world hates us. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want to see us live holy, live righteous, and live blameless in this corrupt and perverse nation. So he's going to throw everything at you he can, including the kitchen sink, to get us to sin. To get us to turn our back on grace. To cause us to crucify the Savior afresh. Paul loved them. He loved them. So he told them the truth because he wanted them to grow. He wanted them to prosper. He wanted them to be stronger. He wanted them to be wiser. So what is Paul saying to us today? Paul is telling us to guard our faith. Don't just let somebody come along and tell you anything about the Word of God. That's why it's important that you study stuff that has been made available to you. Bishop Obi told us yesterday, as ministers and as leaders and as pastors, you are lifetime learners. You should never stop learning. I sat at a group of a table with a group of ladies, a group of pastor ladies, and Pastor Mike Dean pulled out the dominoes. They was like, "What are those?"